You're listening to the Modern Web Podcast. For more podcasts, videos, and events, find us online at modern-web.org or follow us on Twitter at modern.web. That's modern.web.
Jerome Hardaway discusses AI APIs, API integration, and better building with artificial intelligence.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to this episode of the Modern Web Podcast. And today we are continuing our series on AI with Jerome Hardaway. My name is Tracy. You can follow me on Twitter at Lady Leet. I'm joined by RoboCell. You can also...
Yeah, I'm RoboCell, an architect at this.labs.
That was fun.
I am Jerome Hardaway. I guess I am introducing myself. Metsu Code, Executive Director, Software Engineer, CTO. I do it all. I am busy. But yeah.
Come on, Jerome. This isn't their first episode of the series. They know you by now. You're part of the family at this point.
You're right. My bad. Okay. Yeah. But today, because Tracy is giggly today, I have no idea why, we are talking about AI APIs.
Yes.
So that is the discussion that we are having today. And, you know, where to start.
Yeah. What are your favorite APIs, Jerome? Like, what do people just like off the shelf grab?
For me, I just off the shelf grab open APIs. It's easy to use. It's affordable. When I'm doing any testing, I use that. And then I do something more robust, I'll go grab the Azure OpenAI stuff. But that's also because of when I'm dealing with the ecosystems that I'm working with, I tend to like always go towards what, like, I have a process of going towards what's easier to build with based upon my experience. And OpenAI's tools work really well with people who come from heavy JavaScript experience and TypeScript experience. Very easy to use. And Azure OpenAI tends to be a little bit heavier, need a bigger lift. But once you get past that, they too are, they're both easy tools, but I always grab, especially when I'm looking at the non-generative features, I'm just more comfortable with both those, their resources, their docs. So that's what I go to for.
Yeah. So most people, I think, especially with AI, they're like generative AI. You know, that's the only thing people think about, right? Like when you say non-generative AI, like, what do you mean?
All right. So what I mean is my favorite tool that I like is content moderation API, right? When it comes to OpenAI or Azure OpenAI, using that for content moderation versus generative AI, where you're in a chat bot, you type something and then it generates a bunch of stuff based on what you chat. So if y'all remember back when everybody was doing gaming chats and stuff, they used to have to build in these content moderation tools and then have a live moderator and things like that, right? Well, I like content moderation on the terms with the AI for, you know, be able to automatically filter, monitor, and flag stuff while also building in with bad words. I don't know y'all remember that, y'all used that NPM before, but that was like the first form of like using programming for content moderation in Node. So it was NPM module called bad words, and you can also pass bad words to it. And I remember using it to build like a speech to text like thing with Chrome, with Google Chrome, and then like, okay, now we use bad words on top of content moderation API. I can flag those words, and I wanted a human in the loop, which we try not to. I can have the option for the human, like for the human to only be involved if the thing that they're being said is like not verified, or if it means something else based on their language, or, you know, maybe someone reports something and seeing like it's like a, you know, grotesque re-rendering of it, right? Because people like to replace O's with zeros and et cetera, right? And but the AI, you know, right?
Like, so kids are still doing it these days, huh?
Yes, kids have not, they haven't evolved, and they all think that they're slick, and it's like, no, you're an idiot on Discord. But yeah, so that is where I really want to, that's where I like to see it, where I like to build onto it with safety and content moderation. That's like the first like API layer, I think, especially right now, Because like we said, I think we've talked about this before, generative AI is starting to wear its toll on people because that's all people are doing, right? Like, versus when, especially a great company that is not doing generative AI, or kind of doing generative AI when you request it, but it's using AI really, really good in a manner that isn't generative, just using their natural processing NLP APIs, Grammarly. I absolutely love what they're doing with their API usage. Yeah, they're using a lot of sentiment analysis APIs. They're using a lot of entity recognition and like syntax APIs, right? So those, just the sentiment analysis is worth the price of Grammarly right now, because just how well they're able to, now they're able to look at what you're saying, predict how you're trying to convey it in that message, and then recommend something as you're cleaning up, making, you know, yours truly not sound like a country bumpkin. So like I absolutely love it. So it's something I definitely recommend. But those are, I think, when it comes to NLP, sentiment analysis is my favorite API usage. And when it comes to content, like just content moderation in general, or safety and content, is content moderation APIs. Sure. Another one is, my third will be like computer vision. I like computer vision. Computer vision mixed with OCR, object character recognition, like that's another huge AI thing that people just aren't really looking at enough. Like, you know, with when it comes to people uploading files and instead, or, you know, we're in a tight job market, having to, you know, upload your resume just to refill out your resume. What if there was AI that did OCR, I looked at the resume, read it, and put the stuff that it recognized in your resume? Yes, like it would be, you know, there's so many ways that we can be doing things to make people's lives easier versus just, you know, one person was like, oh, I don't know if people are going to pay for ChatGPT wrappers. And I was like, there's a lot more evolved ways to do this whole AI thing, a lot of different ways. It's just, it's like how crypto and I put generative AI in the same place as I put crypto or blockchain, right? You have to have something for rapid adoption that people can use and get excited about so you can focus on the boring stuff that needs to be done, right? So you can pay the bills on the boring stuff, right? Right? Everybody loves...
like the hype man.
Yeah, you know, everybody loves normal people love crypto, super, super smart people love blockchain, right? The people who are looking to underlying technology underneath crypto to make things more secure and focused, right? That's not, you know, what you are into if you're, you know, Susie in marketing or something, right? But, you know, like if I'm in marketing, once again, or I'm a CMO, copy AI with their go-to-market AI, I'm interested in that. I don't really care about models or anything like that. I want to do the go-to-market AI and stuff and let, you know, the nerds be excited about, you know, artificial intelligence APIs and let the scientists like LLMs and stuff like that. I just want the go-to-market strategy so that way I can make my team more productive, right? So,
are you still excited about copy AI even with ChatGPT and Claude and Gemini? And
I am more excited with copy AI now. With really? All these other things, because people don't understand, like, I can go and do the prompt engineering and take that time. But what if you don't want to? If I can just open up a browser, do a specific tool, and it understands how to do things that way, where it makes it easier. Like, you know, I can copy and paste articles I've written in the past, and then, or copy and paste articles that have been written by Vetsu Code in the past, put it as our brand voice in our info base, save that data and have it shared. Like, so whenever I write it, I have it written in my brand voice, right? ChatGPT doesn't do that. It doesn't do that automatically. I can't set that as a default, right? Okay. So like, I think that's the excitement of these type of tools. It's not, oh, you know,
like, I'm literally building a GPT. I'm sorry, but like, I'm just like, why haven't I just built a GPT that's like a this?
I told you that. I know. Like, build it. Just build it.
I was like doing some marketing copy today. I was like, can you just write this for me? But I had to like tell it what it was, and then it did it for me. And like, it could have been better though if I had like been a little bit better at my rag stack.
Did you have more Do you have documentation that you can upload to train it on for its knowledge base?
Yeah, that's what I'm doing. I'm basically uploading Rob.
Yeah, well, now he's on the call. I'm so sorry, Rob.
Wait a second.
Hold up. Like, dang. So what happens to Rob? I want to see Rob. I don't want to see Rob GPT.
Does it feel to you when, you know, we're talking about all these different AI APIs and kind of building with them, does it remind you of when APIs came out in the first place, right? It was like, look, you have all these building blocks, these APIs, they're so cool. And then like, you know, this was back in what, 2008, I think, where all, you know, APIs were the new thing. I went to an API conference, I remember. Like, what's an API?
Well, I feel like
it's
you're
this.
Dating yourself in tech.
I know I am.
Then I start looking at APIs and code and stuff to like 2010. So mm-hmm. I wasn't out in 2000. Like, to me, I thought you got an LLC and websites were boring. Like, just from it. Like, that's like before I got out of the military. That's how that happens, right? I didn't know what was going on. But I do remember it still being early technology. I mean...
But does this feel like the same way to you? Like the AI
it's
thing?
Closer.
Because you kind of have to like string things together, you know, like you kind of have to. No, you don't feel that way.
No, it's closer towards AWS. When AWS, that's how I feel. Like this whole movement is exactly how AWS or React. Like those are the two things that remind me of like how it just blew up. And there was this, you know, there were strong opinions each side either way. And you know, you just have to, you know, there's a strong node and a strong right, and somewhere in the middle, there's science there, that you can use to build a better thing. And that's how it feels like, even with the APIs on the technical side, it's like, you know, why don't you just build the thing your own way? I'm like, because that's what the API is for. You know, it's a very exciting time, right? Right now, everybody's trying to get to market. So even with the APIs, and APIs documentation is crap, right? Like now, you know, it's like good, like bad. It works, but the API, the documentation is shoddy. So now we have to refactor this, you know.
But you know what's hilarious? Because I was just trying to use DataStax yesterday, right? Which is a vector database. And like, there's a chat feature, and I think they think it's cheaper to just have an engineer pairing with me in the chat feature than it is to have good documentation. Do you think it's cheaper, or do you think it's just like time to market?
It's just time to. That's part of the problem. Why I try to tell programmers that you're not going to lose your job. It's not cheaper. These things, everybody's losing money.
Yeah, I was like, wow, support, random support, random developer. Hello, how are you?
And that's why you should be focused on non-generative stuff, right? Because that's where the money is going to be, where you can say you can use AI, but you don't have some, you know, Tom and Joanne that doesn't know what they're doing, just chatting away. It's doing things that it's supposed to do, right? Versus you using, you know, you're having a virtual assistant that everybody can touch them in, and they log in and they're just running up your bill, right? And you know, that's one of three reasons why AI, you're going to be like, programmers are going to be okay. Like, you know, the power between the resources, it takes too much water and too much power to run this thing at scale people want to run it, right? You know, you got Microsoft and like Amazon looking at nuclear reactors. Like, it's crazy. Like, you know, and then, you know, the amount of water, like, for, I think it's like, that's one, you know, regression models, I believe? Like, basically, compression models, LLM compression model technologies are coming out. So they had to compress it because, like, until, like, I think maybe August of last year, at least, it was a bottle of water for 50 prompts. Like that's the equivalent of like an 8-ounce bottle of water for 50 prompts is how much water, like, it would need to cool down, like, for, you know, these tools for one of their and their servers. So that's how much water they were using. And you know, the power, like, Americans, or I don't think anybody in a Western civilization is going to be okay with brownouts just for, you know, artificial intelligence. What's the point of, you know, AI if the lights like turn off randomly at 7 p.m. or something, right? No one wants that. So there's so many other problems having to indoctrinate AI that we're going to, programs are going to be fine. But when we come to these, like right now, these first 3 to 5 years, everybody's go to market. Easiest way to go to market and get that shareholder up is to, you know, put a virtual assistant here, even though, you know, most people don't, they don't use the virtual assistants in the stuff that they know. And that's one of the things that we're learning is that if I'm good at marketing, I'm not probably going to use the AI tool for marketing. If I'm okay at marketing, but never been paid as a marketer, I'm probably going to use the AI tool for marketing. If I'm okay, if I'm good enough to get paid as a programmer, I'm probably until a certain point not going to use the AI tool, right? We see more juniors and like mid-level engineers use AI tools and like seniors and stuff. It's either like the seniors in the mids, like later mid-level engineers, not really using it. High level, like staff engineers or people who aren't on the engineering track, but still have to go look at code and ask questions, they are using it. Entry level, junior, lower mid, they're using it. But then you have this bundle like where they don't get any value from it, right? Because they've been coding, you know, so long that they don't need it, or, you know, they're using Vim and, you know, they're, you know, the Vim users are rock stars at everything. And they just want to, you know, drink kombucha and let you know that you suck at this. They're not using it, right? So like that is what we're seeing in the market. And so that's where, you know, we have to focus on how do we use leverage these like APIs. Like when we're using voice and audio processing, a great example, this podcast. Now, when you're using this podcast, when we do this podcast, what are the APIs that are being leveraged to transcribe what each user is saying, clear it up, try to see what we're doing, what we're saying, how to analyze it for when it's writing like the script to say, oh, they keep an emphasis here, right? So you're doing a script analysis API, that's what it would do. It's like, all right, who is stressed? What is the stress? Is it a good stress, bad stress? Like if she was like excited, because that's considered stress, right? So or annotations, like what is the thing that he said? It sounded like a quote, like a quotation mark, right? Like that's where the AI APIs would get. That's where speech recognition would come into play. So that's what we as programmers, while we have to learn this stuff versus just shake our heads at it, because we don't know where to put the stuff to be able to fight back, right? We're just like, oh, we don't want it because generative AI, you know, the leading experts of AI say that there's not enough industries out here for AI to really have a real impact right now, right? You know, coders and marketing and maybe, you know, in chatbots for like call centers, stuff like that. So Other than that, nothing else. So
we've talked about this before, but I think one of the things that's fascinating with AI is the degree to which it's a problem of imagination oftentimes. As you said, people often think when they think of how they could use AI, they think of the things they're already doing. And as you just said, that's oftentimes the exact wrong thing. It's the things you're not doing because either you don't have the expertise or the time or the capacity or whatever else that are the best tools for for AI. Similarly, when we start thinking about the APIs we want to use, sometimes we are often as developers like, I've got a hammer, everything's a nail. And I know I've been on a team that did this, that we said, oh, I know what we'll do. Like you were talking about sentiment analysis or even like content moderation. I know what I'll do. I'll pass ChatGPT a set of inputs and I'll tell the sort of the AI agent to give me an answer that's in some easily parsable format. Give it back to me as these different types of glyphs, like it's positive or negative, and then I can interpret that as an enumeration or whatever. And you realize, as you said, that this is the wrong tool. But again, when you just don't have experience with these tools, you're not sure whether to build it on ChatGPT, whether to go to a neural network solution, whether to go off of another product and pick up another subscription fee to another AI API surface. So maybe walk us through a little bit how when you're approaching a new problem, how you're kind of settling in. Do you just go through a period of looking at what's on the market and doing some POCs and trying things? Do you just build it however you can and only change it if it's a problem? Like, kind of help people understand how to expand their imagination of what APIs are available and how to pick and how to know what problems suit which ones best. Before we get back to our conversation, we wanted to say thank you to This.Labs, who is the sponsor of today's show. If you need help with a project that has failed to deliver on time or are in need of a team that feels true ownership over your engineering projects, definitely hit up This.Labs. They specialize in helping business leaders ensure their strategic digital initiatives stay on track. Trusted by companies like PlayStation, Capital One, Herman Miller, PayPal, and T-Mobile, you can find them at this.co. That's THISDOT.co. Now, let's return to our show.
Well, see, that's how I do it. I look at the problem. I've never been, like, I think that's just a layover from the military. Unimportant problems do not inspire me. Like, it's very hard for me to, like, get motivated to touch a computer for what I like to call straight up boring crap, right? Like, if it's just something that's this only job is to bring money into the table, it's very, you know, that's where my discipline comes into play. Okay, I have to touch this thing to in order to do this thing because I like to keep my like to keep the lights on and my wife likes her car, so I'm going to keep this. But beyond that, the idea of that is boring. So when I want to learn, I learned AI because I saw how much it could amplify and augment things that I either have to do or need to do or can do, right? I have to code, right? So if it can augment my, if it can amplify my coding abilities, a higher percentage so I can code more, be a better programmer for my troops, be able to answer more questions, be able to help more troops, I'm all for it. Be able to build more features on my application, help build cleaner tools. I just got my first, we just got our first Vets Who Code donation where someone explicitly shouted out our Vets Who Code theme that we built, right? And I used Copilot to help me with that, right? So, and then I still had to go do some human in loop researching because it wasn't up to date on some things. So like that is what, you know, that's what it's for, right? I now have a relationship with a person who's like, I loved this. Like, we're gonna donate to your cause because of this. Thank you. Now we also have the concept or the construct of, I want to create a, I was like, I don't want anything generative AI in here, right? All right, we can do the virtual assistant thing, but it's so 2000 late, right? Already, right? It's 2020 late, right? Not 2023, not 2028, 2020 late, right? Because everybody's doing it. It's so lame, right? If everybody's doing it, why should anybody do it? Like, you don't need it. Like, Taco Bell doesn't need it, right? It's just it. So, so I was like, all right, we have to do this, but I don't want any generative. So first thing I'm going to go to predictive analytics. Saw predictive analytics with it, utilizing APIs. Was like, oh, well, this knowledge base that I have of all this data, predictive analytics is showcasing me right now. Who has the greatest success metrics in Vets Who Code beyond the services? Spoiler alert, Air Force, number one. Second place, though, Marine Corps. Who would have thought that it was the Jarheads that had a higher success metric than, you know, the other, you know, three, four services outside of the Air Force. So that's super cool. Then it says, like, you know, the people that require the most time and energy is from this service. And if you really wanted to, you know, make sure your resources were well spent, you would just omit this service. So I'm like, well, we can't do that. That's not nice. That's discriminatory. And that's where human in the loop, because if the AI had its place, like, oh, guess what? No more of this people can come in. All right. Oof. No. Can't say that. Someone needs to update. So I was able to, like, well, we're not going to do that. So what we're going to do is we're going to see how much of the resource allocation do we usually put on each one, and how much can we take away to be able to do this? What would I need once I identify a person's army? What do I need them to do? What conversations do I need to have? What type of time helps me pick out those first sergeants that need to be with that army troop, et cetera, right? So like that is how, you know, how I use AI starting off. How do I solve it? How do I solve this problem for the human aspect of it, right? Then once again, I said some things about just content moderation, right? Like one of the things that we have Marines. I gave them around, like, I probably regret this the day I die. I try not to say anything, but we have, like, we gave the Marines their own channel at Vetsuko. We were like, hey, here's a channel for the Marines so y'all can sit here and be, you know, the people that were born in a bar. So, because Marines were, they're the only service that, you know, during the American Revolution, someone rolled into a bar and said, yeah, we need a good few men. And then what drunkards were in there. I was like, cool. And that's how Marine Corps started. So, like, I was like, all right, I'm going to give them, you know, I'm going to separate them from Gen Pop, put them in their own little cell area so they don't offend anyone. And I'm like, okay, a great use case. I'm trusting them to do this, to police themselves. So I don't have to have a police, to have the police with artificial intelligence, but a great use case is
content moderation.
I'm in for the content. Build it into the Slack integration of their channel and be like, hey, give me a flag or a pop-up or, you know, hit this dashboard or send me a text message whenever there's some wild shit that goes on in here. So, but that is, like, those are the use cases that there are, right? Or, you know, right now we're looking at a process of, as the troops are pulling their tickets for their work, being able to see that volume on, like, be have that volume reported to us from the artificial intelligence directly, right? So that start, you know, I've always been this thing of, like, start with problems that matter to you, right? Because it's already hard enough to learn things. And, like, to learn things that aren't important to you on top of learning this, like, this hard stuff doesn't really, you know, doesn't really, you know, get your goose. So, like, that's how, that's my recommendation for it, right?
Yeah. Start with a lot of, learned a lot about Mana Reapers that I didn't want to learn.
Yes.
In the past 24 hours.
You know, as a development community, though, like, there's often this, like, stigma that, like, if you didn't write it yourself, it's not worth importing. We went through this a little bit with the NPM era too, where some people would say, oh, this is a great era because you can build on top of these libraries. You don't have to duplicate code that somebody else has already written. And other people are like, no, because I can write it better, or I can write it more efficiently, or I can write it faster or cheaper, secure, whatever it was.
That's ego, right?
It definitely is. So, but you know, with AI, it exists a little bit as well. I mean, I think it's sometimes hard for me to understand, well, like, whether I should.
You have to empty your cup, right? Like what Bruce Lee said.
Like destroying the bias, you know, episode one.
But there's products that are coming out every day, right, that we see. Not just products that are giving a specific offering, but sometimes they're developer SDK offerings. They're saying, mm-hmm. hey, listen, we're built on top of whatever models or whatever pieces of AI.
Like Vercel's tooling. Like they have their
right?
And their VL.dev.
Right, yeah. And it might not be generally generative. It might just be, you know, this helps you get notes. This helps you do editing. This helps you do the grammar stuff. This helps you do whatever it is. It helps you do content moderation, right? And they might give you a product, an API, a surface area, a user experience that's wrapped around that you can integrate with your code base. And I guess I'm still not positive how to evaluate that, because, like, with so many products coming out, none of them have a lot of track record, and it's sometimes hard to think about picking up more subscription fees.
I think I know where you're going, and I like this. This goes into my work with accessibility. Native or not native is how I play with it, is how I think of it.
Yeah.
If the solution is native in the resource I'm using, I am going to use the native resource. If it is not native to the resource and tool I am using, I am going to use the tool, right? Content moderation is not native to the problem that I am having, to the tool that I'm using. So I'm going to use the tool. But once again, great example, accessibility. Accessibility is native to a lot of the browsers, right? See what everybody knows these guidelines. Accessibility tickets are the best tickets to put juniors on and have them figure out not only your application, but also make it better for people. And like I said, it's native. So I'm not going to go to a, you know, accessibility auditing company that also has its own little widget that I can add to the website, right? You know, that's not what I'm going to do because the solution is native. It's already built into the browser. You just have to do the work. Content moderation, not so much, right? It's a lot of heavy lifting, right? Even if you're using bad words, like I said, you have to, as a programmer, these kids, they think they're slick every day. You know, how do I do this? Or, you know, great example. You're in, you know, the kid that the Air Force kid that decided for clout, he was going to, you know, put secrets in the Discord channel, right? How, when you put that in like six different Discord channels and someone puts it online, how do I, you know, what tool do I have running, you know, in Google to be like, hey, yo, some stuff from 6 months ago that, you know, the president didn't even look at like real good is on the internet. Like maybe we should talk about it, right? So that's the, and that's the ideology that you have to have when you're in real life. I love that whole native, not native process, right? Like, how do I make, that's just how I make decisions. Like, it, you know, being the lazy programmer works. Like, you know, you want to work hard, but you want to think, you know, you want to do like more thinking than working always. So if it's native, yeah, I'm going to do the native solution because I'm not going to risk. I'm like, all right, this costs money on top of, like, it's going to be adding a new thing to my website. Like, it's going to add this little widget. And then it's like, okay, it's going to might maybe save me some time. But is that time really enough? And what if it's not perfect? Like you said, now I have that risk now, so it's not being perfect. Whereas, like, I use a website called GetMunch to turn my, like, long-form content into short-form content. While it may not be perfect, it'll take me a hell of a lot longer between Loom and GetMunch and learning how to use, actually download OBS, understand OBS, do all this editing stuff. I am not a video editor, nor do I want to aspire to be a video editor. So I would rather go good enough on video editing with AI tools than actually go through and do that until I get to the point where I can pay a whole person to go and figure that stuff out for me, and I don't have to worry about it no more, right? Like, that is the whole, that's how I look at things, right? That's not native to me. I don't have the time for it. So, yeah, all right, this description makes sense over here, right? This is, you know, video editing good is enough. A jam, and I don't want
I like that, good enough. It's yeah, true. It's good. So. Well, Jerome, gosh, we have what? I think two more that we're going after? And where can people find you online?
LinkedIn, Jerome Hardaway. That's the best way to find me. I'm on there, but I'm doing more video stuff on TikTok because that's where the kids are.
You doing the dances?
Hell no. No, not at all. I'm doing it, one, because I'm too old to be doing it, two, I don't have the rhythm for that. Like, nah, I don't want people judging me. Like, yo, she has two left feet. Shut up, whatever. My wife, she was raised by a Marine, and she is the biggest clowner on earth. She walked into a room and saw me with a camera doing TikTok dances by myself for TikTok, not using the kids as cover or anything, y'all, she would light me up. She was like, this boy here. She would go on live and she would roast me.
She talks about laughing.
There's a great account out there, which is the spouse of a social media TikToker. And they post videos on their TikTok in the background eating like cereal. Well, the craziness is happening behind them.
That's I don't want to be on influencers in the wild because she gonna send it out like, nah, she gonna send in my real name, everything. I don't have time for that. So TikTok educational content, Vetsucode on TikTok and Twitter as well, or formerly known as Twitter, whatever y'all calling it, at Jerome on formerly known as Twitter, and on the talk as long as we have it, and I'm Jerome Hardaway on LinkedIn. So.
Cool. Well, thanks everyone for listening, and stay tuned for our next few episodes on this. And if you have any questions or comments, you can find us all on Twitter, on LinkedIn, all the other fun places, or leave a comment in the videos, and we'll see you soon. Come on. Come on, everybody. Let's go.
This podcast is sponsored by This.Labs, a framework-agnostic consultancy that specializes in JavaScript. You can find them at this.co/labs. That's THISDOT.co/labs. For all of your